You are listening to Faith Church's sermon from this week. We are a church that is committed to loving Jesus for life and loving others to life. We hope that this message encourages you to follow Jesus with your whole heart.
I have a phrase to share with you, and it goes like this. I am created by God. He designed me, so I am not a mistake. His only son, Jesus Christ, died for me so I could be forgiven. He picked me to be his own, so I am chosen. This is words quoted from a recent movie called The Overcomer. It was from the main character, Hannah, and it's once she found her identity in Jesus Christ. This is actually where we're headed to today. And I do have the pleasure, as I said, as far as sharing with you, and I do consider it a great honor and a privilege to be able to do that. Hopefully, by the end of these next 2 weeks, we will truly know who we are in Christ and be able to know to fulfill our purpose in life and do that in the midst of any circumstances that we are facing. I assure you that all the challenges that we are facing and the circumstances, especially in this year of 2020, things that we probably never even thought of were going to happen just a few months ago. But I can tell you that the things that we are facing are really not any different that hasn't happened at some point in time through history. And really the things that we are facing really started from the beginning of time with Adam and Eve. So the circumstances and the challenges haven't really changed. The battle remains the same, whether it's from ourselves or even opposing situations or even foes. It started in our hearts. It always starts in our hearts, minds, or souls. So let's get started with who we are in Christ. Now, if you're a believer in Christ, I hope that this message encourages you to a deeper understanding of that. Maybe you believe in God and Jesus, but never really had that deep, heart-rooted personal relationship with him. And I hope that becomes deeper and that you find him in your heart of hearts. Or maybe you don't have any relationship with God and his son, and my hope is that you find the light in the light of the world. It starts in faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see." We will get to Hebrews in the next week. That will be our focus there, and we will really dive into the aspect of faith. But how do we get there? Or how do we strengthen our faith? It fluctuates, if we're truly honest about it. We as believers are strong one day and weak others. We're assured, and then we have our doubts. But isn't that really the battle? That is a reality of life. So one step is finding who we are, and then we find our identity in Jesus Christ. So in the Overcomer movie, Hannah had to find who she truly was, as did all the other characters. But isn't that really the same for us? We all try to find who we are and the purpose that we were created for, because it's where our identity lies. It's really where true fulfillment comes from. That is what life is about. We're not just to exist, but to interact. And as believers, interact with God and others. It's all about relationships. This sometimes takes a lifetime to really figure out. Some never do. How many go to college and then pursue something that they didn't get the degree for? How many of us spend a lifetime searching and engaging in lifestyles that truly turn out to be harmful, destructive, not only to ourselves, but to others? Who knows better than anyone else than the one who actually created us to know what our plan or purpose is? My prayer, my hope is that after these 2 weeks, we can make a statement like Hannah did, a statement that you identify in Christ, and so that you can overcome the battles in life, to be battle ready, armed with the armor of God, to know your purpose in life, and to know the true blessings that we have, this peace that surpasses all understanding. Let me just share with you a little bit of my own testimony and my identity that I've come to, and then we'll dive into Ephesians. I was baptized at an infant at St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Reading. My great-grandparents were members there and so on through the generations, and my mom is still a member there today. And my family was always active in the church. I changed churches early in my marriage to Sandy, and this was pre-kids to Rosedale UCC right here in Laureldale. And again, very active within the church and with the youth in Christian education. I knew and believed in God and Jesus Christ my entire life. But it took me until I was 30 years old to really have Jesus in my heart of hearts. I have encountered him in many ways and in many places. He led me and my family right here to Faith Church. And that's why I'm standing here today. I've broken every one of the Ten Commandments, and I am a sinner. I had a drinking problem several years ago, and I've lost everything financially twice, some of my own personal fault and some due to other circumstances. My family and I have faced many health challenges over the last 20 and 25 years, and by the grace of God and the prayers of thousands, I survived tumors in my lower back and my brain this past year, and that is to the praise of the Lord. To get all clear report this June. I would never made it without the love, the prayers, and support of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my wife, my family, my friends, this church, my Christian friends, my association with Bible Study Fellowship and Christian Endeavor, and many, many others. I have the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what I cannot see. I do still fall short in my faith, absolutely, every day. But I'm not the same person that I was 20 years ago. It is a lifetime event, and there's ups and there's downs. And I make it through all these things because God is with me always, as my wife is, and my brothers and sisters in Christ. I say this to give us a perspective as we start diving into these battles that we face with the strong armor of God. I don't say it as a pat on my back. I say it as that we are in a constant journey and a constant battle. So in the movie, Hannah was actually told to study Ephesians 1 and 2 to find her identity. I encourage you to do the same. Read through those words and see what your identity of Christ is. She came out with a few words of what she found to create her identity statement. She said, "I am blessed, chosen, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, sealed, loved, and saved." If you remember that statement of what she said, "I am created in God. He designed me, so I am not a mistake. His only Son, Jesus Christ, died for me so that I could be forgiven. He picked me to be his own, so I am chosen." Hannah, as it is with all of us, had to find her identity in Jesus Christ and truly find that purpose, that meaning, and to have that peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm going to share with you the statement that I created for myself. My goal, and I really want to hear feedback on this, is finding your identity statement. Write it down. Take time. Discern over it. Read through Ephesians 1 and 2. Because that's leading us to how we look at this armor of God that he has given us. My identity statement: God, the creator of all things, created me with a plan and a purpose to have a personal relationship with him and the others I encounter, to love both unconditionally, to live life as he created me, with freedom to choose and pursue the purpose in which I was created for, all with his love and glory and not my own, and I am forever thankful for him saving a sinner and a wretch like me. Truly amazing grace. I hope as we move, this enables you to create your identity statement and then arming you with the armor of God, being battle ready. The battle is here. It will always be here, even after COVID-19. It's always been here prior to COVID-19. So let's take a little deeper look to where it all started in Genesis. If you look in your outline, it has a statement in there as far as talking about Satan's plan. I think it's on the prior page than what you have up on the screen right now. At the bottom of the page, below the Ephesians statement there, it talks about Satan's plan. Satan's plan is doubt, discouragement, diversion, defeat, and delay. I've spoken about these before many times with people because I feel to know your adversary's plan, you have a step up on them and you know more how to prepare for what is coming. And it gives you a deeper understanding on how to combat it. I like to add maybe two more to that list, especially dealing with what's prevalent today in COVID-19. And two words you can write in there is divide and destroy. So, we know the plan. So what do we do? And really, how does Satan's plans work? Well, doubt makes us question God or even if he exists. Discouragement makes you focus on your problems rather than God. Remember, we always got to keep our eyes on Christ. Diversion makes you focus on the wrong things, and actually, you start wanting them more than the right things or the intended things for your life, which another D word in there could be desire or even deception. Defeat makes you feel like a failure so that you lose confidence in all things and eventually give up. Delay, we're continually putting things off, and then it never gets done. Division, well, we heard the term divide and conquer, right? United we stand, divided we fall. Destruction. Tearing everything down. And then nothing is ever taught, learned, so we cannot grow and mature. How many relationships are destroyed because of the loss of trust and not being able to forgive? This is truly a key, because unless we know that we are forgiven, how can we forgive others? Look at Satan's list and then compare it to Ephesians 1 and 2 and the list that's listed in there, or even Hannah's list, and see how it counters it. Christ conquered all when he gave his life for us, our redemption, and we are forgiven. Remember, Christ called out on the cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." This is after he was deserted by his closest friends, beaten, spit upon, flogged, thorns pressed into his head, and nailed to a cross to hang for hours on end, all while being mocked. He had the power to stop it at any point in time, but he didn't, because the plan was to save us from ourselves. It's because of God's unconditional love, and we needed to be saved only truly only from the true love that is his to give to us. And it's a choice. It's a choice that we decide. The choice got corrupted in the garden. And we face those choices today. And those choices lie in our heart, mind, and soul. If we go to the next page of the outline on the chart that is shown, we have this chart that I developed here is to maybe give you a perspective of how this battle works. It's something that I will put my thoughts, that it was my thoughts to this. It's not that I took it out of a book or a commentary, but it was over years, and I've shared it a few times in different places, so some of you may have heard this already. But if you look at the top line, we have Trinity. The Trinity we know as Jesus, the Spirit, and God. And then Jesus talks about the love of God or the commands that we have and that we should love God with our heart, mind, and soul, and then obviously love all others as ourselves. So you can see where those lines are coming from. From the human aspect, we deal in a physical, a mental, and a spiritual context. So if you come across, though, Jesus needs to be in our heart to be able to deal with the physical aspects of our life. The Spirit, obviously, is of our mind and dealing with the mental aspect of our life. And God is at our soul and our spiritual aspect of our human life. To give the comparisons of how Jesus dealt with these aspects, you can look at Matthew 4, which is the temptation in the wilderness, going on to Genesis, where Adam and Eve dealt with the temptations. So we see Christ dealing with these, the battle, and then you see the human aspect dealing with the battle. The first, as we see in Jesus' context, was turning the stones into bread, a physical aspect. The spiritual aspect, or the spirit or the mental aspect that he dealt with, he was asked to throw himself down and he would be saved as Satan was twisting scripture to try to lead Jesus. And then the final temptation was to worship other than God. But the same temptation was offered to the human aspect in Adam and Eve. You had a physical aspect of the apple, which was desirable or wanting. And that desire was led to have God's knowledge, which was a mental aspect, to have knowledge of God, the wisdom of God. And then obviously the spiritual context as far as being like God. So you can see there's a correlation that is running through all times and all places. Now, Christ showed us how to deal with that in his temptation, did not sin. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve fell into that. But we need to know that aspect, to know how the battle comes at us. It comes at us in a physical way, a mental way, and a spiritual way, at all different times and all different places. And usually, Satan is striking us at our weakest point. He will find those weakest points, and that's where the strike will come. So that leads us to Ephesians and putting on the armor of God of how do we battle this. Looking at the first division in the outline, we're looking at verses 10 to 12. Let me pull those up here. I apologize. I'm fumbling through my pages. We have there it is. The first two verses, verses 10 to 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not of flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We see the word put on. So there is an action that has to take place, and that action is ours, our action to take, a choice, or even a physical action. But it also says full. So understand it's not part of this armor, it's all of it, all the aspects. Put on the full armor of God. And this is so we can take a stand. So you can see we are called to do the possible, but God will take care of the impossible. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, confirming what I was talking about in the heart, mind, and soul in that chart that we had looked at. You see, understanding the root of the battle arms us to understand the battle and then prevail through the battle. So, do you feel like you are strong in your faith? You really need to know that you're not alone. And that's what it's important, to understand that God is with you, your Christian brother and sisters are with you, and that's really the hard part of our current situation, isn't it, as far as the separation that we're having in our relationships, that we're confined to specific areas or places. And that's part of the battle that we are doing, but that's all part of the battle that's going on. So we need to hold on to Jesus first. And then we look to our brothers and sisters to help us in our way. The second division is being prepared for the battle. And this is focused just on verse 13. Verse 13 says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." So we understand the enemy's plan. We understand the salvation plan from Jesus Christ. We understand the battlefield is the heart, mind, and soul. We understand that we need to choose to act and understand that we do the possible. God takes care of the impossible. We love, we forgive, and it's exactly what God has done for us and that we need to do for others. I always think about the wisdom that came to me as far as becoming a parent. Because I would sit there and say, how many times do I got to tell them to do that? And then I think, I could hear God saying the same thing. How many times has he told me to do that? There's a lot of power in that. So understanding where we are. And now we're gaining the full armor of God, that we can stand our ground. Because in verse 13, it says, when the day of evil comes. It doesn't say if or maybe. It says when. It's coming. It's here. It's always been here. We've been dealing with it. We can talk about the end of times or what have you, but we're always dealing with the battle. So it's not a question, it's a fact. And I've said this multiple times, and I'll say it again now. A Christian life does not prevent you from challenges and hardship. That's why I shared my testimony at the beginning of this sermon. It arms you. It empowers you. It brings you an inner peace. It doesn't keep it away. It enables you to endure and then bring hope to others by how you are standing in those circumstances. Last year, I couldn't tell you how many times I was asked, why did this happen to you? I can't believe this happened to you. You're a strong believer in Christ, and, you know, where was God in all this? And I said, standing right aside of me, walking with me all the way. And I said, you got to understand, God didn't give me the tumors. It could have been from some of the choices I made. There was times I was in construction sites and I didn't have a mask on. Should have maybe had a mask on, and maybe something from that. Maybe from some of the lifestyle I led. Or maybe it's just disease in itself that comes from a fallen world. But it's not God struck me with it. You see, I had Bell's palsy, and people could say, why you had Bell's palsy? Well, the Bell's palsy led to them finding the tumor just at the right time. And God's timing is perfect in all things, because if it wasn't for the head tumor, they wouldn't have found the back tumor. And then I had an infection, and because of the good graces of the nurse and my wife at home, they got me back to the hospital that it was taken right at the right time, because if it was another day or two later, I could have been in a really bad position. It's just at the right time. And I got done with my proton radiation treatment right before COVID-19 struck, right at the right time. So all this to give an all clear in June. And in the meantime, I was able to keep my employment, to keep the finances in line. I actually had the best year financially I ever had, with even being out of work for 6 months, along with a promotion in January. And through all of it, I had many encounters to be able to share, minister, talk, encourage others, all along this experience. It's like provision of manna in the wilderness. It's not in extreme, it's not in abundance. It's just enough to get through each and every day. And we're not to hoard it or to spoil, just like the manna in the wilderness. But we're to be good stewards of what we are given. And God's hands were upon me. And I saw others grow because of the struggles and the blessings. And there was tons of blessings. I was facing death, and Jesus' hands was upon me. I didn't share this with a lot of people, but I'll share it here today. When I was going in for my brain surgery, I was praying, well, I'll back the scale up a little bit. My great sister Tammy, my adopted sister Tammy, read scriptures to me prior to going into surgery, which I wouldn't have never saw that 20 years ago coming from Tammy, but it was happening. Brought a tear to my eye. And as I was going into surgery, you know, you're getting wheeled down the aisle, I'm talking to my Lord. And I got into the room, and I was like, just be with me. And at that moment, I felt a hand on my shoulder when I was laying on the table. Now, could have been a nurse, could have been a doctor. And someone said to me, whether it was or it wasn't, it was still God's hands on your shoulder. And I was reassured at that point. So when someone says to me, have you encountered Jesus Christ? I have encountered Jesus Christ at different points and times, and that was one of them to share with you. I got to move on. I'm sorry. I got caught up in the story. I went down one of those rabbit trails, Tammy. but I'm alive, and I'm here today. But I will say the enemy is relentless. As calm as I was in the last year, with everything that was going on, I didn't have any anxiety through that whole time. But I can tell you, in recent months, for the first time in my life, I have dealt with anxiety. Maybe it's seeing what's happening in our world around us, just the unsureness of what's going on. I even went to Pastor Brett about it, because I've never confronted that in my life. And he suggested to me about driving further into God's word. And it definitely helped, because it led me to what I'm sharing with you today. And I've gotten a reassurance from that. So I can tell you that God is continually speaking to us through all sorts of ways: sight, sounds, thought, impressions, others around us, and most of all, scriptures. And thankfulness truly opens our door to God's presence. And we need to go with it, go to him in confession, humility, and honesty, because that's what opens the door to the souls and enables us to be strong and not weak. It leads us to forgiveness, and forgiveness within ourselves, and then we can forgive others. So what do you have to get real about yourself and honesty, as far as being honest and being humble and confessing? What do you need to get real about with you and your God? These are all things that we saw about in verse 13. Now I will end going into the full armor of God, leading all this, leading up to understanding how we're going to use what God has provided for us. That's why I spent so much time. I could have spent time just talking about the parts of the armament, but how are you going to know to deal with what you're given, the tools, without having the instruction prior to or understanding the purpose behind why you're doing what you're doing? Be like me grabbing a hammer and say, here, go build that, but there's no plan put in front of me, no details, no description. So what are you building? What are you constructing? So Ephesians verses 14 to 20. I will just go through that. I will not reread those areas. You have those in front of you. But first, it's the belt of truth. The truth will set you free. Again, this goes back to the confession, the humility, and the honesty I just was talking about. And being truthful really diffuses a lot of confrontation. It diffuses a lot of the battles that we enter into. Listen, if there is a word that needs to be heard today in today's times, is listen. Listen. You don't know the path that others have traveled. I don't know what it's like to be brought up in a broken home. I had wonderful parents. I don't know what that's like. I don't know what it's like to be in different areas of different cities and different in city life or whatever. I was always out in the suburbs. I live out in the country now. I don't know what that kind of lifestyle truly is or what it's like living in. I've never been overly oppressed by any situation. I've been without money. I know what that's like. But there's a lot of things that you don't know because you haven't traveled those trails. And when we take the time to listen and have compassion and listen, we can come to a meeting ground. And hopefully that meeting ground is Jesus Christ. And we can meet there and start from there. So that's the belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness, a protection over our heart. Remember we had spoke early, heart, mind, and soul, talking about the heart, the protection of the heart, a place of unconditional love, the place of where we need to have the love of Jesus Christ. Simple phrase, we've heard it 1,000 times, but how many of us truly think about it when we're in a circumstance? What would Jesus do? The breastplate is covering the most precious part, our heart. Understand, as you look through this armament, there's nothing about protecting the back. Your back is unprotected. You can look at this two ways. One is, you should never turn your back on your enemy, so there's no armament that you would need on your back. But the thing that came to my mind is, God got my back, so I don't need to have that protected. Feet, fitted for readiness. It's the study of the word, the gospel of peace. And it's not just reading it, it's studying it. Surround yourself in fellowship with other Christians. Christian music is another great aspect. Word FM, really got kind of tuned into that over the past few years. But what are you watching? What are you reading? What are you entertaining yourself with? And where is your focus on time? How much time is spent on the phone? I can be guilty of this. into Facebook or social media, if you took part of that time and put yourself into the Word of God, how else might you be armed? Shield of faith. We'll be dealing with faith next week, so I will not spend time on the shield of faith. Obviously, the faith is the cornerstone of everything that we're going to be, that we're focusing on, and that's why I'm taking a whole week on that aspect of everything. But the helmet of salvation, the protection of the mind. Remember, heart, mind, soul. So we saw the heart, we saw the mind. Then we see the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Jesus used Scripture to fend off Satan's attack. As Satan was using Scripture to Jesus, but in a twisted and out of context way, as he always does, there's a slight truth that runs through the lie, but Jesus countered with Scripture back to him. Jesus is the Word. We know that from John. So that's the battle of the Spirit. And the Spirit, and the truth of the Spirit lies in God's Word. Now at last, the final aspect, prayer. Prayer in all places, times, and occasions. Bringing everything to God instead of removing him. How have we seen society remove God over several generations? It's not just today. It's been going on for a length of time. And then we ask why we are where we are. Prayer is the most powerful thing we can do. Susan from Christian Endeavor shared with us the other day, and I thought this was a great perspective. She says, how many times do we tell people, well, the least I can do is pray for you? She says, that's the most powerful thing we can do, is pray for someone. Not the least thing we can do. It's the most powerful thing we have, is prayer. I can attest to it because I am an example of what prayer has done in my healing and in my life. So I thank Susan for sharing that aspect with us. You need to pray for our leaders, and especially our ministers in Christ. Such a battle going on there. And Paul faced that same battle, as you can see in the Scripture. Paul needed the prayer. He asked for it. He talked about being an ambassador in chains. And he wanted to be able to declare the gospel fearlessly. Ephesians, the letter that he wrote to Ephesus, was meant to be a letter of encouragement. It was to build the body of Christ, but not a building, the building of people themselves. And we see that as far as how much that's even needed today and just the state of age of communication and technology, and we still can't communicate correctly. Ephesus was a really strategic point city at that time in Paul's day, but if you understand what Paul was going through at that time, he was in house arrest. That's why he was saying ambassador in chains. He wrote the letter of Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians while he was under this house arrest. He also met with Jewish leadership in that home or place that he was kept, along with other fellow believers in Christ. And he talked about God, and they studied Scripture, kind of like an early day Bible study. But with also that, he also ministered to Roman soldiers at the same time. Our Christian leadership needs our prayers more than ever, in all places and all times. This COVID-19 is not going to keep God down. It's going to just keep on going. We're reaching people through the YouTube page. The pastor's talked about that several times, reaching people that we never thought we'd be able to reach because of the circumstance. You cannot keep God down. It will prevail. We just got to do our part. We got to be armed. So how do we put on the armor of God? Or how do you put on the armor of God? What is set correctly? Is it the helmet? Is it the shield? Does something need to be adjusted? Is something missing? Does something need to be approved upon? I'm going to leave you with a few verses to end, just to keep in mind and encourage you in our battle. Matthew 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29. You, Lord, are my lamp. The Lord turns my darkness into light. My friends, I know the battle is in our heart, mind, and soul. With each and every one of us, it's here every day. It's going to keep on going on until the Lord comes again. We're going to be battling it all the time. The answer, the only answer, is in Jesus Christ and placing the full armor of God upon us. It's to defend us. It's to guide us in this journey that we call life. And it's to find purpose, and it's to find peace. My final statement would be, in faith, we face evil, and in Jesus Christ, we are prepared. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope it encouraged you in your walk with Christ. You can find out more about Faith Church at wearefaithec.com.